16, verses 81 to 88. Many Christians, I find, get into trouble because when their life gets complicated, they turn to other things for comfort. And they turn to alcohol. They turn to social media. They turn to drugs. They turn to food. They turn to other people. And when I read Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, God says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And God says, what hurts me is when you're in need, you leave me and you choose. And here he says, I'm the fountain of living waters. God says that. And he says, and they hew them out cisterns, broken. A cistern is a sewer. He says, you choose a sewer when you could have fresh water. And God says, what breaks my heart, he said, is when you struggle, and it's just like I was trying to tell you about the flooding or the fires over in California or any national disaster. We're supposed to, when something happens or pressure comes in our life or trouble, we're supposed to, first thing we're supposed to do is look to the Lord. In the Marine Corps, when they'd call us to the battalion, we'd be on the parade deck, and they would say, "But battalion, attan, whoo!" That means lock it up. No talking. Well, sometimes God gives the attend with a disaster. He says, do I have your attention? Let me put it in modern day terms. Can you hear me now? You couldn't hear me before because you were too busy and distracted. Do I have your attention? I'm getting ready to tell you what to do. And here God says, what breaks my heart is my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've chosen sewers instead to get their water from. When you turn to anything or anyone other than the Lord, it's a broken cistern or a sewer. King David, in this passage, our text verse is verse number 82, he says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? When, Lord, are you going to comfort me? David turned to the Lord for consolation and comfort. Just listen to these verses. Psalm 71, 21. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalm 119, 76 says, let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. And lastly, Psalm 86, 17 says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Listen, because thou, Lord, hast hoped me and comforted me. David said, when a tragedy happens, when I need comfort, when the pain hits, he said, I want to. He said, and David did, he looked to the Lord. Here in this verse, he's praying, Lord, I'm waiting for your comfort. When are you going to comfort me? Because, Lord, you've done it before. But I just don't feel it right now. And, Lord, I need your touch. I need your help. And he's praying. And he said, when are you going to comfort me, God? When am I going to have your comfort? As David looked in God's Word, and he didn't find it immediately, he didn't give up on God. If you look at verse number 81, he says, my soul fainteth. In other words, it's getting tired. I feel like I'm getting ready to stop. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Did you know this morning God's word? I wish, and I don't know too many, I know a few, but I don't know too many Christians that when the tragedy happens, they run to God's word. And this is the greatest comfort you'll ever have. But I watch Christians, and watch this, there's nothing wrong. We all need sometimes a Jesus with flesh on them, a godly person that we can tell our hurts to. Child of God, this is a refuge. He says, I run to thy word. When was the last time you took your Bible and you open up, you said, God, I need you to speak to my heart. This, the word of God, is supposed to be your comfort. And it's as I think this morning, when you need the Lord, run to the Bible. Read the Bible. You say, I don't know where. Then, okay, if you text me or email me or call me, Pastor, I'm hurting and I just need, you said, run to God's Word. I'll give you some places to read. But this ought to be your refuge. Does your Bible have any tear stains on it? Have you ever read it and wept? because God was speaking to your heart. God's Word is supposed to be a comfort. When you need the Lord, Christian, don't forget God's Word. Also, this morning, when you need comfort, don't forget the Holy Ghost. Four times in the Word of God, He's called the Comforter. Jesus said, when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Christian, you've got the Bible and you've got the one whose title is the Comforter. And when you're needing help and you're needing strength, for crying out loud, alcohol sends the pit deeper. Drugs send it deeper, and there's nothing but regret. I just want to encourage you this morning, please use God's Word as comfort. Use the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just went and prayed and said, Lord, I need You? And we sang that song this morning. God's promises should comfort. We sing the song, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Standing, 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 standing on the promises of God my Savior. Do you do it? Or is it just a song? And if we aren't careful, when our ground gets shaky and our world is rocked, we turn to everything but God. And God says, I'm trying to get your attention. I am the only one in your life. God says, I am your portion and I am your inheritance. I'm the only thing you have that won't change tomorrow. But we won't turn to Him. God says, I am the only thing you know that's going to be there when you get there. You say, well, my wife, I hope, my wife and I, we're having a ball. I love my wife, but I also realize my wife could pass tomorrow, and I hope not. But if that happens, I know the Lord's there. The Lord will always be there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the only one that you have that's constant and consistent. Here, I wish you could use God's promises. You say, what promise, preacher? You're there in... let me just read you this. Can a woman... Isaiah 49:16. How about this promise? Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. You say, a woman couldn't forget her baby. There was some in the news last year that forgot the baby in the car and the baby died a tragic death. As sad as that was, a woman forgot her child. And God says, can a woman forget her child? And God says, yes, they can. But God says, I'll never forget you. That's a promise. That's a promise that I can stand on. God says, I will never forget you. You see, the whole force of God's divine nature holds Him to remember us. God will never forget you. And child of God, this morning, with God's remembrance also comes God's comfort. You say, what promises? What promises should I stand on? How about Matthew 9:2? Be of good cheer, thy sins are be forgiven thee. You can be happy that your sins are forgiven. If you're saved, you have the peace of God in your heart and knowing your sins are all gone. You see, the burden and sense of sin in our guilt, if you remember before you got saved, it was sharp. That guilt was crushing. And when the soul houses that hell, there is no rest. I remember being on the ship, in the bottom of the ship, and God convicted my heart about my sinful condition. I'd never seen myself as a damned sinner before God. And the more I justified, well, I'm pretty good, and I've been to church, and the more I justified myself, the more God's conviction and the more the Holy Ghost was, smiting me. And I said, I'm not going to hell for nobody. I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to save me, and I accepted Him as my Savior. I remember that. You see, the conviction of sin is all-consuming, but when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior because He died for your sin and rose again, there is a freedom. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my... Oh, I love that song. We were in a thing where they were saying, test the mic out. And we were in this church, we put in a sound system, and they said, test the mic out. That's always the first song on my heart. Sing, oh sing of my... Oh, my goodness. It sets me free. Child of God, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, you can have all the money in the world and every luxury and not have the true happiness and joy that comes from having your sins forgiven. A saved man has the endless fountain available inside him so that even when he's in physical pain, he can still bless the Lord for His goodness. Forgiveness of sin makes all of our sorrows light because we're no longer condemned. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to him, to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you're waiting on the Lord, and here David is needing comfort, and when that comfort is delayed, Lord, when wilt thou comfort me? And it hasn't come yet. Sometimes it takes the determination of Jacob when you're waiting on the Lord. How about if you remember when Jacob coming back? And Jacob, in Genesis 32, it says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh, that means he shrunk a tendon, and Jacob limped for the rest of his life after wrestling with that angel. But when the angel said, "Let me go," and what was Jacob's words? "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Sometimes it takes determination in the Christian life. God, I need what only you can give. When wilt thou comfort me? And when it doesn't come, it takes a little bit of determination. And you know, sometimes when you're praying, God says, "You know, I like it when you spend time with me. Can you stay a while?" How come, God? How come the comfort isn't coming? God, I need you. God says, "I like to hear you say that. God, I need it now." God says, "I'm going to give it to you. Just stay put for a minute. Talk to me. I love to hear your voice. I love to talk with you." And when you pray, when here Jacob was determined, and he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I like what the Baptist preacher Augustus Toplady wrote. He said, "I will not be comforted till Jesus comforts me." You see, it takes Job's determination when his children were taken, and his business was lost, and his health was taken. Job 13:15, Job was able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord. And his body's covered in boils, and he's scraping himself, and his children at this time are dead. "Job, what have you done?" He said, "I'm going to trust God. If he kills me, I'm going to trust the Lord. My life's in His hands." That is Job 13:15. You see, Psalm 119:82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" David did not just look to God's word, he looked to God himself. If I read Micah 7, just as a matter of fact, if you go there, go to Micah 7. And watch this. This isn't a cop-out when we say, when hard times happen, that's why I love that song. "Lord, I need you. Lord, keep me always on my knees. Because Lord, I need you all the time. I don't need you just when the time is hard or when the pain happens. I need God all the time." Look at Micah. It's in the Minor Prophets. Micah 7. And look at verse 5. Watch this. Micah 7:5. Micah 7:5. "Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, and daughters rise up against her the daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." And look at verse 7, Micah 7:7. "Therefore, I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Here, God tells Micah, and I think it's a beautiful passage to look at, "But when your friends fail you," and there's coming a day when your family's going to fail you, your family can't meet every need that you have. He said, "Here a man's foes will be they of his own household," when your brother, your sister, your parents, and they may not, maybe nobody's hunting you down and trying to hurt you. However, he says, you know what? Micah says, "I've learned, I'm going to look to the Lord in my trouble." And that's not a cop-out. That's not a cop-out. And you say, oh, that's so simple. When it happens, when the tragedy happens, and when it comes in your life, child of God, look up. Okay, God, what do you want? I'm looking to the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord. I'm waiting. I need to go pray. I need to go spend time with God. Instead of, you know, you hear some people, oh, where's my medication? I'm not against you taking your medication. But when it's the first thing you think of and it's not God, there's a problem. There's a problem. Heard one Christian, I don't drink beer all the time, but when the stress gets going, I need... Where's God? He's right there waiting for you to look to Him. And Micah said, you know what? When everybody else can fail me, that's fine, but I'm going to look unto the Lord and I'm going to wait for Him. My trust is in the Lord. Child of God, look to the Lord for your comfort. You see, the more you depend upon the great, invisible, omnipotent, eternal Jehovah, the stronger and the happier you will become. If you're like David, he prayed, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Please know that if you get impatient with God, the devil and his crowd cannot give you any comfort. That's why it's wonderful to stay. When wilt thou comfort me? Have the right attitude. Okay, well, I'm going to pray and read the Bible. And if I don't get something real quick, then I'm going to go hang out with the crowd I used to run with, or I'm going to go drinking, or I'm going to go here. The devil can never provide what God can give you. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. When wilt thou comfort me? Satan is always looking. You see, suffering and trials in the Lord's will are better than living at ease with the devil's lies. Satan is always working at shooting fiery darts of doubt at every one of us. And God says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Satan's always trying to get you to think God doesn't care about you. You know, you've suffered a lot. Why don't you just go ahead and drink? You deserve to sin. That's doubt. That's doubt. God's not going to help you. God, your crutch. That's what the world says. No, He is my rock. He is my God. He's the one I've built my life on. He's the one I've built my life on. And Satan, though, is always trying to get us to doubt. My faith quenches those fiery darts of doubt. Our strength as a child of God comes from spending time in His Word. Christian, please, if I can encourage you to do anything, do you have a time every day where you read the Bible? Do you have a time every day? If you don't, and I heard a couple Christians say this, and that's fine. They say this, I don't know how to read the Bible. Then come to me in private and I'll show you. You say, well, it's big, it's so big, where do you start? Come to me in private, I'll show you. I'll help you, I'll even read the Bible with you, I'll get you started. I'd love to be a help to you in that, but to hear a Christian say, no, I don't read it. You don't spend any time in that book every day? I've got to have that. It feeds my soul. And if you need help, I'd love to be a blessing to you. I just helped somebody last week. They said, I honestly, Pastor, they gave me the impression a little while ago that they were reading their Bible, and I said, these were their words. I have no idea what I'm doing. I said, can I help you? And they said, oh, I thought you'd never ask. Well, Christian, for crying out loud, I hope you can come to your pastor. I hope I'm approachable enough. And you say, preacher, I need to ask you a question about this. Or, I love these type of questions. You know, I was reading something in the Bible, and literally, I don't understand anything about this, what I was reading. Can you help me out with it? If I don't know it, I'm not going to blow smoke up your nose.
Oh, well, yeah, that passage simply blah, 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 blah.
I'm not going to make up something. If I don't know it, I'll tell you. And then I'll tell you if people struggle with it, and I'll tell you if I got something I can read, and I'll get back with you. But if you don't read your Bible because you don't know how, oh my goodness, come to me and ask me for help. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll show you a reading plan. I mean, I've got about three or four of them. If you don't like this one, you can like this one. If you don't like this one, you can like this one. There's plenty of ways of reading your Bible. But oh my goodness, do you spend time in it every day? If Satan's doubt can get you started on a pity party, then dwelling on self then starts to feed your pride. Listen closely. Once the pride is fed, then you can give yourself up to sin. then you don't have to despair and quit in your mind. Jesus did say this. What a verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Child of God, when God's comfort is delayed, you know the Lord is never too late. He's always right on time. God tells us, let patience have her perfect work. I love this statement. Wipe your eyes and wait on the Lord. Weep in His presence and then wipe your eyes and wait. Wait on the Lord. When wilt thou comfort me? You see, when troubles and tragedies happen, please put yourself in a position that God can bless. Let God have your attention. Okay, we have people here that stop in, I'd say probably 4 or 5 a month. People will just drive up the driveway, I'm here, and they'll come in and they'll say, I need financial help. And I always say, you understand, it's not my money, it's the church's money. And I said, for you to get help from our church with your electric bill or food or something like that, you need to come to church. And most people understand that. There was one person that got a little snotty and, oh, so I'm not coming to your church? I can't get help if I don't come to your church. I said, where do you go to church at? And I'm normally not snappy with people. I've got a pretty high pain threshold. You know what I mean? I can take everything except being kicked. Then I need to say, excuse me. And then I come back. Okay? However, the person said, oh, so since I don't go to your church, I can't get any help. I said, where do you go to church at, ma'am? She said, well, nowhere. I said, God's trying to get your attention. You're supposed to be in church. And God uses hard times to get you to look up. So yeah, you need to come to church so you can get help. Otherwise, then you just keep on spiraling down. No, God's trying to get you to look up. I said, there's one in charge of your life. I said, I'm not God. I don't know what you're going through. But I know God can help you if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. Christian, when the hard times happen, can I just ask yourself these questions? Am I in church like I'm supposed to be? Am I in Sunday school where I'm supposed to be? Are you tithing? Are you obeying God's word the best you can so you can get God's help? I'm not trying to turn you into a fear-driven Christian. I'm trying to say when the tragedy happens, maybe God's saying, I want some things adjusted in your life. Move. Instead of, I'm just going to keep doing what I was doing. I'm just going to keep on Christian. Are you in a position where God can bless you? I watched a lady leave a man. They had kids and she took off and he came to the church just weeping. And he was broken. He came into the office and he said, I want you to pray for me that the Holy Spirit will fill me. And he brought oil, put a trash bag on the floor and brought the metal chair. He said, would you please anoint me with oil and pray that the Holy Spirit, we prayed. He then fasted for 40 days. He started a fast right then. He said, I want my wife back. I want God to do a work in her heart. He didn't miss church. Do you know why? Because he didn't want his prayers hindered. How come Christians, and he took it so seriously. I was like, wow. And I knew he wasn't weird. He was doing what the Bible said. But I don't see too many Christians doing that. Okay, God, whatever you want. Lord, I need to be in a place where I'm blessable. And I know that this can be convicting this morning. I'm just trying to ask you, when the tragedy happens and you look up, can you at least say, God, I need your help. I don't need my prayers hindered. I don't need nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dreams. God, I don't want anything between you and me. So I'm going to do everything I can to get my prayers answered. I don't want to be a reason that God can't answer my prayers. And I wish more Christians would think like that. Would you expect your own children to be happy when they're disobeying you? Think about what I just said. Your children are happiest when they're obeying you. The same thing is true with you, child of God, and your Heavenly Father. You're happiest when you're obeying Him. You see, God will comfort you. Just keep on waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? When you're walking and the world is dark and you can't see what tomorrow holds and your life is crashing, it says here in Isaiah 50:10, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. When Pilgrim, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, it's wonderful, second most read book in the world, next to the Bible. If you've never read it, I hope I incite a little curiosity. But when Pilgrim was walking through the valley of death, he said, Father, I can't see the next step. The fog was before he could see the trail. He said, God, it's dark. I can't see. And God said, just take the step in faith. Keep walking forward. And every step, Pilgrim would pray, Lord. And God says, when you are in the darkness and you have no light, trust in the name of the Lord. He will help you. Stay upon your God. Lord, when wilt thou comfort me? You see, when God's comfort is delayed, sometimes God waits for us to stop complaining. When we don't see our spirit of murmuring and complaining, then God allows affliction and pain sometimes to purge that attitude from us. I know some Christians, they're negative and they really think they're positive. Literally. Christian, think with me just for a second. When you can never see God's goodness and all you can ever see on the clearest day is clouds, when the grass is green out front and one blade is dying, oh, great, the whole yard's dead. One blade of grass? Oh, the whole thing's trash. Oh, great. It's just one blade of grass. Look at all the other green grass. Glory to God. Do you have a tendency towards the negative? And some of us are that way. And it would help if we saw it. If we saw our tendency is to complain. And God says, I want some of that out of you, so stop your complaining. And when you stop your complaining, then I'll help you. I'll help you. Sometimes when God's comfort is delayed, it's because of our complaining. You see, when... Have you ever thought about this? When you never see God's goodness, isn't it like a minor blasphemy against the Most High? God gave our complaining the perfect name. In the Bible, it's called murmuring. Murmur. Didn't God name it perfectly? Murmur. You ever tell the kid, I remember growing up, why can't we, can we go to the store? How come I can't get in? How can it just sound like, wah, 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 wah. Did Dad ever say, look, either start the engine or shut it off? Did Dad ever say that? Quit the, wah, 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 wah. Either start the stinking engine or shut it off, but quit cranking it. Rah, 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 rah. Murmuring, murmuring, murmuring. How come I don't have this? And what's wrong with this? And Lord, and God says, hey, I'm a good God. Do you ever see my goodness? Do you ever praise me? Do you ever praise me? You see, if you ain't going to hell, Christian, you ever think about this? If you ain't going to hell, you ain't got no problems. You got a lot to praise God about. We at least have our salvation to praise God about. You see, sin bothers most Christians if they think other people know. But they never mind what God knows. We're so image-oriented. What's everybody think about me? How does everybody see me? Child of God, God sees straight through everything and God sees you. Your relationship with the Lord is the most important. But we'll live, as long as I'll hide the sin, as long as nobody sees it. God sees it, all of it. He's got pictures, videos, t-shirts, all of it. You understand? You see, when God's comfort is delayed, and you find yourself waiting for comfort, then search your heart. When you need God's comfort, then make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. I love this statement. You are not responsible for what God has shown others. You are responsible for what God has shown to you. You say, what sin are you talking about? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What does God require of you? Then do that. And when you don't, it's sin. Now you fill in the blank. I don't know. That's your walk with God. That's your relationship with the Lord. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. To him it's sin. God's trying to get our attention. Doesn't God say The servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. When a Christian is supposed to be serving the Lord and they don't, then they're going to be miserable. The Lord saved you to do something for Him. Every child of God is supposed to be serving the Lord. When God touches your heart to do something, then you're supposed to surrender and say, Lord, here am I. God saved you, and you can't be happy doing nothing. I hope you think about that. Every one of us is supposed to ask the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Every Christian is supposed to be busy in God's work. Sometimes our sorrows are manufactured by our sins. David prayed, Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? I'm almost done. I just need you to listen. This morning we learned about 1 John in Sunday school. 1 John has one of the most, I think it's a beautiful text, but 1 John 1 says this, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you're praying, When wilt thou comfort me? God, I need you. Sometimes God's waiting for you to confess your sin. Not to a priest, not to anybody else, but to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I know, I wish this wasn't true, but child of God, you're supposed to have a time every day where you pray and you tell God you're sorry for blowing it wherever you blew it. And when you don't, when you go a day, and then a week, and then a month, and then months, and a year, how long has it been since you all by yourself, God says, got on your knees, and just you and the Lord, and you confessed your sins. And you see, here's the problem. We'll say, Lord, forgive me of these. Christian, you did them one by one. You need to confess them one by one. See, I'm not informing God of anything. God doesn't go, oh, really, you did that? You thought that? You said, really? God doesn't do that. He already knows. The purpose of confession is to get you to say it. Lord, I was wrong when I said this. I was wrong. I am sorry when I thought this. Lord, I did this and I am sorry. God says, I've been waiting for you to confess it a long time. You were already forgiven before you ever committed the sin if you're saved, right? Jesus died for the sins of your past and the sins of your future. But when you confess it, it's you admitting it that you did wrong. And when we cannot get the comfort we're needing, God says, do you have anything that you need to get real with me on? Christian, how long has it been? It's between you and the Lord. How long has it been since you got on your knees and you confessed your sins to God? To God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God's comfort delayed. It's the title of the sermon. When you're needing comfort and the tragedy comes and the pain comes and you get on your knees and it doesn't come like it used to, maybe God's trying to get you to search your heart. Maybe the Lord's trying to get you to spend time with Him. Maybe the Lord's trying to get you to stop your complaining. Maybe the Lord's trying to get you to confess your sin. When the comfort is delayed, God will give it. But it's put on hold for a reason. It's put on hold for a reason. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning, and I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I thank You for the comfort, how You've helped me, how You've helped my family.